But joining us now, I want to get to our special guest, also an amazing interviewer, if I might say, the host of Banfield on WGN America, Ashley Banfield. How are you, Ashley? I have so much to ask you about, including like how you're getting these amazing, incredible guests, because the lineup's just been so huge. But can I ask you about the focus, though, first? Because we're playing these promos on WGN Radio, and people hear it, and maybe they've sampled your show, maybe they haven't yet, but, you know, you talk about no spin, no agendas, and I watched, and I was like, oh my God, she's actually having a conversation where no one yells, no one throws anything, no one's like calling each other names, and it's just, very engaging. It's amazing. Amazing.
I'm so appreciative. That's the kind of thing. And that's exactly what I'm aiming for. So when I had Keith Olbermann on Wednesday of last week, you know, I could have yelled a whole bunch of stuff at him. you know, he had just said the Texans shouldn't get the vaccine because of what their governor did by opening up the state. And I could have yelled at him really loud, and regardless of where anybody lies on the political spectrum, that would require, you know, some pushback. And so it was great to just talk to him. It was good to listen, because he actually capitulated and apologized and said, you know, it wasn't the right thing to say or do. And he said that a few times on the show about, you know, incendiary things that he has said in the past. And wow, what a novel concept. If you're just nice and understanding and you listen to people, maybe everything will just come down a notch in the rhetoric. And that's really
the
goal is. Yeah, it's what we're trying to do on News Nation. Just bring it down a notch, everyone. You know, news isn't sport. We shouldn't be treating it like sport. It's become a sport. I think everybody's getting a little tired of that as a sport because we like sports. We just really need our news.
Yeah. And it also isn't pure entertainment either. Let's face it. This is how people get their information. And so, I mean, you know, you've been in the business. I've been in the business. You know what kinds of incendiary things and kinds of incendiary guests will elicit that sort of tease-worthy, kind of splashy kind of reaction. And it's too easy to go there.
You know what? I like the supermarket tabloids. I read them in the aisle when I'm getting my macaroni and cheese. But I don't rely on them. Right? It's not my only news. And what I'm frustrated with right now is that it seems to be that in the cable landscape, that's all you're getting. You're just getting yelling, screaming, eye rolling, polemic, face, you know, snarling, reads and takes on the news. And you're not getting a primetime show right now. And I dare say it's bleeding into regular day side viewing too. You just don't have a balanced option anywhere. You have to flip channels and be aggressive if you want to just be informed. And frankly, I'm tired. I just want to be able to sit down and watch a show or a half hour or catch up on my news, and then I want to decide. And I think the viewers in America, they're tired of being lectured to about how they should think. They would like to decide for themselves. They need this. It's a cleanse. It's a news cleanse from all the Cheetos we've been eating.
I love that. And maybe now that the election's over, this is a time to sort of try something new out, you know, because I think people like to go to their echo chambers during the election and try to, like, you know, this confirmation bias thing where you hear people who believe exactly what you believe and you shut out or you roll your eyes at everyone who doesn't, and that's not even tolerated. And I just feel like, okay, all right, that's not being an educated, informed person. It's just not.
No, it used to be. It used to be just during election. Now it's all the time. Now, like I said, hosts during daytime, where you always felt a little bit more safe, no matter what network you were watching it, you were going to get some really solid news facts. Now in Dayside, hosts are rolling their eyes and seeing that, oh, maybe there's money to be made there and a brand to be made. And, you know, we're not the winners of that, us American viewers, because I always look at myself, Anna, first as a viewer. I love TV. I love it. And I love the news, and I watch it all the time when I'm at home. I don't just work in it. I also watch it all the time. And so I feel like, first and foremost, I'm not being served as an American, and I would like a nice, unbiased product out there. Thank you very much.
Why did that change? I mean, you were in the business at CNN and MSNBC, and you've had a successful career where you were on the inside for a long time. And I just wonder, you know, what you sort of attribute to how that changed in the business, where eye rolls are now okay, and sort of this one-sidedness is tolerated more than I feel it should be. I just wonder what your thoughts are on that.
I watched it disintegrate. I mean, the first complaints we had in early 2000, when, you know, MSNBC and Fox were kind of new and getting their sea legs, I watched these double boxes being the standard operating procedure for producing, right? So let's do a story, and then let's book an antagonist and a protagonist, or whichever one you choose, you know, is going to be that label, and let's have them argue it out, because it's very inexpensive. They come on for free, and we can fill 7 minutes for free, you know, other than the cost of the satellite line. But increasingly, they got angrier and nastier, and they raised the bar, and they wanted headlines, and these people wanted jobs as contributors. They wanted to get on staff and make money and write books. And so the toxicity got much more acute, and it is what we have today. I mean, it took a nice round 20 years to land us in the boat we're in, which is this country, you know, hates each other. So it hasn't been healthy. It's completely wrong. We, as a functioning democracy, and I dare say the best in the world, need to be healthy in what we're eating, or we're going to, you know, be running on dirty gas, which means the engine will stop. So hopefully, you know, people will realize that as they're bouncing around and getting bloodied in their echo chamber and say, I need a break from this, and I really do just want the facts, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you. And I've actually heard from people who do find it refreshing to seek out and find a program like yours. You go really in depth. You've had some amazing interviews, Ashley. And it's, I mean, your Rolodex is big, girl. I mean, you are landing some huge people. You had Keith Olbermann, Bryan Cranston. Your first day, you had Aaron Sorkin. Robin Wright, amazing interview. This week, you've got some more stuff coming up. Tell us what some. How the first week was, first of all. I mean, that's a big deal, right?
Yeah. Week one was busy. We've been doing 18-hour days, you know, for several weeks now. But, yeah, I think I got a big Rolodex, because 33 years in the business, you build one, right? But I actually have some really interesting news to break, because I just this morning was on the phone with two members of the royal family, chatting and getting some inside, you know, scoop. One of them will join me tonight. The other one is contemplating it. And so one of the most interesting things I heard was the speculation of who it was amongst the royal family or the institution that mulled over the shade of Archie's, you know, skin once he was born. There's I found quite a surprising answer there.
Really?
And that will be
on tonight.
You think
you have the person? You think you can, will you name the person?
This member of the royal family will, yeah. But then also, one thing I think has been so lost with just these bombshell revelations was the fact that this one little nugget that would have been the headline everywhere, that Meghan's having a girl, you know, having a baby girl. And that's so lost in all of this, as are the congratulatory, you know, public messaging from the family, from the royal family. And so the first royal family member is actually going to speak out about that and have a message for them. So I think these are the things that people should hear. There are two sides of this. There's the British side and how they view all of it. And then there's the American side and how they react to all of it. And they're very, very different. So I think, you know, without question, there's a lord is going to join us tonight. Two princesses, at least one princess will be on with us, and the other one is thinking of it. To really hash out the future of the monarchy with these extraordinary allegations, especially in light of the last big interview that really took a ding out of the shiny tiara of the royal institution, and that was Diana's interview with Martin Brashear. There's a real comparison to be made. Parallels are dark, and yet there are grave differences. There's the race issue that's undoubtedly going to resonate pretty loudly.
If anything,
it's a fascinating time.
I do, too, and I think that stood out for me just watching it, because I thought, well, okay, I didn't know Meghan was going through all this, and if she was in that short time, what, 2 years in the monarchy, living there in the palace with all the rules and restrictions, no driver's license, not allowed to go anywhere unless she gets the approval, and I guess I wasn't aware of all that. But beyond that, just started thinking, what was Diana living through then? She was alone. Her husband was not necessarily faithful. She was not exactly the palace favorite, and all the things she must have been going through for years and years and years. That's where my mind sort of traveled during all of that.
Well, the royal family member I spoke with today actually articulated that, yes, Diana was very alone, and at least Meghan has a husband in Harry who loves her. So she's got a teammate and someone to really lean on, and maybe that's why we still have her with us. You know, and I thought that was very profound, because I imagine Diana really alone without Charles giving her support and love and helping her to navigate. But, you know, gosh, I think for a lot of Americans, especially people who say Oh, for heaven's sake, you're a grown-up. You're not trapped in a palace with a lock and key. It's a little like saying to someone in a marriage, they're not trapped. Sometimes you actually are, you know. Sometimes the exit is, you know, dangerous, painful, lethal. There are all sorts of reasons why people stay in marriages that aren't working. And sometimes it's because they fear for their lives. And mm-hmm. I think what Meghan was trying to say is that you don't just pick up and leave the royal family and walk out of the palace. It's a lot bigger than the decision of you going, you know, to McDonald's to get some nuggets. There's so much more to it. It's giant. It's earth-shattering. And yes, it is dangerous. There are death threats that abound in their lives. They are chased relentlessly. Diana died from the chase. So people should, I think, you know, ease up a little in the criticism of saying, for heaven's sake, you're not locked anywhere. It's not a Rapunzel story. Yeah, it kind of is. And until you really walk in those shoes and know that world, it would be ill-advised to weigh in with such harsh criticism.
That's a great comparison. I hadn't thought that about being locked in a marriage. And the other thing that strikes you sometimes is that how happy couples can be or appear happy on the outside and appear to have everything, and yet there's pain and disaster on the inside. And you might think that that's the same thing with her, too. Here she is, you know, living this life of like, oh, my God, she went to Northwestern right here in Chicago. And here she is living this like fairy tale life, marrying a prince who just seems really cool and healthy. And they've got this great life. They're living in a palace and horse-drawn carriages. And oh, my gosh, wow. And on the inside, I think Diana and I guess we now know Meghan Markle. We're not exactly experiencing that fairy tale life.
Well, think about Meghan knowing the history of Diana and knowing how Diana died, and then hearing that, you know, thanks but no thanks, you're in Canada, and we as the royal family don't consider you employees anymore. Therefore, as a non-employee, you no longer get security for life. Hmm. And it's a little like an ex-president here. Security for life is actually pretty serious because that baby could be kidnapped. Harry could be kidnapped. A white supremacist could kill her, kill him, kill them. There are so many dangers, not even bringing in the fact that Diana was chased to her death by the paparazzi. And that's the world that Harry and Meghan and Archie live in. So it's not little to say you're on your own, sayonara, pay for your own security, pay for your own privacy, pay for your own 24/7 security for the rest of your, let's just say, 60 years. They were left money, you know, by Diana, but not enough for that. Not enough to be kept that safe. So there's a point to be made that shouldn't be scoffed at when they talk about not having the amount of money that they might have needed to keep safe. Remember, it's not like keeping you and me safe, you know. It's a lot different.
Yeah, it is. And it'd be interesting to see what statements the Queen or anyone will make, if at all, or the Palace PR team, because they've got quite the team. I haven't seen a thing. I don't know about you, Ashley. Have you seen any reaction yet?
Well, I got that one over the phone today. And
well, your secret sources. Tonight, I mean, public, you know? Public. Yeah.
No, it's amazing. No public yet. You know, mm-hmm. and also I think there's that lag in time where it wasn't going to air in the UK. I mean, obviously on the internet you can cannibalize and dig it up and watch it in clips and bits, but this particular full hour, I don't think was going to air for another day. But, you know, gosh, I don't know that they knew what was going to be said. So they probably had an idea, given the life they've all been living together, given the institution, the firm, and how they've been working with or not with Meghan. They probably knew it was coming. So they have probably been working pretty feverishly trying to figure out how to repair whatever damage was coming. I don't think this will all be out of the blue.
Mm-hmm. I don't either. You know, just a couple, we just have a minute left here with you, Ashley. And I just want to say everyone should check out your show because it's very in-depth, your approach now. You're doing like one subject, maybe just two or something per hour. Tell us what that focus, that is about.
So it's very much like the Larry King format. I truly believe that it wasn't broken and I didn't want to fix it. I thought Larry was the master at really, you know, tapping into the zeitgeist and doing a full hour with somebody who had a lot to say, or a half hour with people who were doing smaller projects or news stories. And then, you know, tonight is one of those examples where we had something planned for an hour tonight, an in-depth with a guest, and we changed course midstream and said, no, what happened last night was really big, and it's big news. It wasn't just tabloid fodder. There was a real, there was a big seismic boom that went off when the story of racism was articulated, and that can't be ignored. So that's why we changed course, and we're going to do a bigger, it's a full hour on the topic, but there'll be many guests.
Yeah, that's it's awesome. And this week, don't you have some special guests? Anybody you want to just throw out there? Let us know.
Yeah, we do. So one of my favorite people in the whole wide world, Mike Rowe. Mm-hmm. Gosh, I love him. I love Mike Rowe because Mike Rowe is Mike Rowe and never tried to be anything other than Mike Rowe. And that was a very successful personality to be born into because he's every man, you know, and he's just funny at being every man. Rick Springfield, another big, I've always been a really big Rick Springfield fan. And he's done so much that I think if you look back at his huge career, his long career, you might forget that he was a big soap actor at one point and did some work with Meryl Streep. And you know, Rick Springfield's a really like super interesting character. And we've got a big lineup for the whole week. And another woman who I adore is Polina Porizkova. She was a supermodel who married Rick Ocasek from The Cars. And when he died, he left her penniless. And it's shocking to see this woman in her 50s, you know, starting from a mattress on the floor. And she's got an incredible story to tell and a lot of amazing advice for women and men, but women who sort of put all their faith and trust in being looked after. And she's quite candid about aging as a model as well, which is very brave because as she's been putting out pictures of herself without makeup, she's been losing contract, which is also a story in itself. So I can't wait to talk to her as well.
We'll be listening. Just finally, people are wondering what happened to your glasses. You're not wearing them all the time, mm-hmm. Ashley. It was your signature for so many years. What's going on there?
It was blind as a bat. I went and I had some very aggressive, like bionic woman surgeries done. Not just simple old, you know, LASIK. That's for kids. I had like my lenses removed, and then you know, arthroscopically new ones inserted into my eyes. It was a pretty scary series of operations, but I did it a few years ago, and so I'm not attached to glasses all the time anymore, but I do have to wear them on occasion. I just choose not to wear them on shows anymore.
Awesome. Well, we'll be watching, Ashley. Thank you for the time with us today, and keep rocking it. I mean, like, literally, you're hitting it out of the ballpark with the guests you're doing and the way you approach it, too. It's like, I had a friend text me, just totally didn't know I was even talking to you today, and she just said, you know, she projects warmth, and, like, she really wants to know the answer. And you dig in deep in this way that allows people to reveal things to you. It's a gift, so, you know, people should
like
check
people.
It out.
I like people. I gotta be honest, I sat across from Bashar al-Assad, and I just was fascinated by him. So, you know, he's a monster, but I needed to know what made him tick. And I like that. I like that about people. I like that everybody takes a different path, and I want to know how they choose it.
Awesome. Ashley, thanks. Thanks for the time. And we'll hopefully talk again
thanks
soon.
Thanks so much for having me. Thanks.
Ashley Banfield, check her out on News Nation. That's the former WGN America on your cable station, so you can check her out.